Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
Governor Scott Walker is expected to order the special legislative elections by today's noon deadline set by a judge last week. Meanwhile, the legislature has been advancing a measure this week that would avoid special elections in the vacant 1st Senate and 42nd Assembly districts. This could trigger a new court battle. It's an in-depth discussion on special elections here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Among the critics who testified against the special elections measure was Democratic Representative Peter Barca.
To disenfranchise people through trying to put off this election, through going to court and having you here to try and pass this provision is abhorrent to our democracy, and it offends me.
Now let's explore Wisconsin's elections law with Robert Yablon. He's an assistant professor in the UW Law School and a faculty associate with the university's Elections Research Center. His research interests include political and election law, constitutional law, federal courts, and statutory interpretation. Before joining the law school faculty, he was a practicing attorney and prior to that, a law clerk to Supreme Court Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, with this most recent development here, it really seems that Wisconsin's elections are colliding again with litigation, and Governor Scott Walker opting not to petition the state Supreme Court to overturn an appeals court ruling that denied a delay in a lower court's order for him to call special elections. Is there a legal next step here for the governor, or is this the end of the road at this time?
It's not necessarily the end of the road. The decision that he made last night not to appeal to the Supreme Court now was a decision not to appeal the lower court's refusal to give him some extra time to decide whether or not he's going to call the special election. He wanted until the end of next week. The court said no. And so he's not appealing that. But I believe he is still preserving his right to appeal the lower court's original decision. And so what could happen is if the legislature passes this this bill that they're considering, he could go back to the court and say this is all moot now, and applying this new law, which is, supersedes his previous order, he shouldn't have to call the election. So it's possible that you could have a further development along those lines.
Does it complicate it then that the legislature is considering this special measure that would change current state law, state election laws, change the language? Take a step back here. What does current state election law tell us about calling special elections?
So under current law, the norm is that a special election is required when a state legislative seat opens up before the second Tuesday in May of a general election year. And so we're dealing here with two seats that opened up at the end of December. And in the normal course, the governor probably would have called the special election quite quickly. And if he had done that in the first few days, we may have had the special election during the spring election that's going to be happening next Tuesday. And so the law now is, as long as a vacancy happens by May, you'll have a special election before the fall general election. The new legislation that's being debated would make that deadline much earlier. It would say that there can be no special elections that occur after the spring election.
Governor Walker didn't call special elections, like you said, and instead decided to leave the seats empty until the November 6, 2018 general election. Is that a typical move when it comes to situations like this?
The short answer is no. The norm, I think, for the past 40 plus years has been that the governor calls the special elections very quickly. I saw one fairly in-depth survey that was done, I believe, by Scott Gordon of WizContext, kind of an impressive dive in. And there were dozens of instances in which the governor called the election within days. I think that he found that the average length of time over the course of 100 special elections since 1971 was about 17 days. So it's pretty unusual for the governor to not take any action over what's now been about 3 months.
So there's also this court case, Newman versus Wisconsin. Who are the plaintiffs here? What is this case about?
So the plaintiffs in this case are residents of the two legislative districts, one assembly district and one Senate district, that have lost their representatives. And they argue that they've been injured as a result now of not having a representative in place and now not having the opportunity to elect one. And they are challenging, under state law, the governor's refusal to call the election. They say that by statute, there is an affirmative duty on the governor's part to order a special election.
So let's dig into the questions weighed by Dane County Judge Josanne Reynolds, who ruled in favor of the plaintiff last week. What did she have to consider?
So the petition that the plaintiffs filed in this case is technically called a petition for a writ of mandamus, and that's essentially a request for an order to have an official complete a legal duty. And their argument here was that Scott Walker has this legal duty to call the elections. Now, there's a legal standard for mandamus petitions that the judge was applying. A couple of the prongs of that standard basically concern whether there is a clear legal right and duty. And so part of what the judge was doing was simply reading the statutory language and seeing if it was clear. And then the plaintiffs also have to show that they would be damaged by the failure to give the order. And so there were some arguments that she was considering about whether or not the plaintiffs really will have their rights affected in a substantial way.
How did they show damage?
Well, the damage that they've shown is that they have a right to be represented. And so they have a right to have someone in office who is going to be casting votes on whatever legislation remains to be voted on. I mean, one of the governor's arguments is that the legislative session will be basically over by the time anyone is seated. But there is a legislative aspect to it. They want to be representative in legislative affairs. And of course, there's a constituent services aspect as well. When you have a legislator who's your legislator, it's someone who you can call and seek help with whatever problems you're having. They don't have that person.
Robert Yablon is with us. He's an assistant professor in the UW Law School, a faculty affiliate with the university's Elections Research Center. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, 800-642-1234. Did Governor Walker make the right move by not petitioning the state Supreme Court to overturn the lower court rulings? What do you think of a measure to change special elections that's before the legislature right now? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Robert, can you explain to us how the issue of standing figures into this case?
Well, standing is just a technical requirement when someone brings a lawsuit that they need to show essentially that they are someone who has been concretely injured by the action or inaction that they're challenging. And I think it was fairly clear in this case that as a matter of law and precedent, that the plaintiffs here as residents of the districts where an election is not being called, lacking a representative themselves, have that kind of what a court would consider to be a concrete injury.
Let's go to Greg now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Kate. Thanks. I just want to reiterate what your guest just said. It's not the question isn't just whether people are voting in legislative sessions called by the governor and the Republican majority. It's whether you're being represented or not, whether there's somebody in that office you can go and talk to about your problem.
So, Greg, are you you're supportive then of this turn of events that Governor Walker is not going to petition the Supreme Court here?
Well, no, I'm still listening and trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen. Seems to me a special election should be called so that the people have a representative in at the office down at the Capitol for them.
Greg, thanks so much for the call. It seems like that came up a lot in testimony. That sentiment.
That's right. I think that, you know, there was testimony yesterday at the legislature by some residents of the districts who expressed displeasure at not only not having someone who is going to be advocating for them in the legislature itself, but also someone who will be able to, you know, represent them as constituents who just may have problems and want someone to call. Now, I do think that the offices technically of those representatives who have left are still open, and so they may have some staff members there, but that's not quite the same thing as having the actual elected legislator who can be there for you.
But even if there are no votes to cast, you still need that legislator there for you. Is that right?
Exactly. So I think, you know, there's a lot that legislators do that happens outside of the legislative chamber. And so I would say that that's one thing that the plaintiffs are worried that they're going to be missing out on. And I think they're also worried that although a lot of the normal legislative business for the session is likely to be over before anyone is seated, nothing precludes the possibility of special sessions. There have been special sessions the last couple of years, and you know, the legislature is going to be having an extraordinary session just to talk about whether to change the election law, and so they want to be represented in the event that some of those sessions happen.
Governor Scott Walker has until noon to call elections for two vacant legislative districts. They've been vacant since December. We're talking about state elections with Robert Yablon, an assistant professor in the University of Wisconsin Law School, a faculty affiliate with the university's Election Research Center. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Did Governor Walker make the right move here by not petitioning the state Supreme Court to overturn lower court rulings? What do you think of a measure to change special elections? That's before the legislature right now. Call in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. Governor Scott Walker abandoned his court fight last night seeking to delay special elections in two vacant legislative districts. A high court filing by the Justice Department revealed that he won't ask the state Supreme Court to overturn a lower court order that will force the governor to call elections. Meanwhile, critics and supporters of a bill that would change current special elections law were in Madison yesterday for a state Senate public hearing on the bill. Here's what one supporter, William Richardson of Middleton, had to say.
A lot of citizens, including myself, have election fatigue. People are not geared to that. If you want people to show up, you got to have regular times of year that they do it and keep it as few as possible.
We're talking about the future of elections here in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Robert Yablon stays with us. He's an assistant professor in the UW Law School, a faculty affiliate with the Elections Research Center there. Getting your questions, your insights at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with supporters who say these special elections will be too costly, too confusing, and may negatively impact overseas military voters? Or do you think critics have it right when they say that the vacant seats disenfranchise voters in those districts? 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Terry now, joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Terry.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. This is not one side or that side. This is at the heart of democracy. This is no taxation without representation. This is what this country was founded on. There is no, oh, let's save taxpayers' money. Those are just excuses. This is nothing but political games. People deserve representation. And if the governor would have done his job and called the special election within days after these lawmakers retired, this would have cost no more than the extra ink on a ballot. We could have had this done and a general election on Tuesday for these two seats.
Terry, thanks so much for your thoughts. Robert, the cost of elections came up a lot in the arguments by the governor's lawyers in the Justice Department. Wisconsin's Elections Commission's reported that 2017 spring elections cost municipal clerks almost $235,000 in the 1st Senate District, almost $72,000 in the 42nd Assembly District. Were those strong arguments?
Well, there's no question that special elections do cost money. Now, your caller made one counterargument that that is an important one, and that is if the governor had called the special election within the first few days after these vacancies, the timing would have worked out so the special election simply could have been folded into next week's spring election, which wouldn't have entailed any extra cost. So to some extent, this is a self-inflicted injury that that the governor is now complaining about. The caller also, you know, makes the point or actually it was the person from Middleton who spoke at the hearing yesterday mm-hmm. about having too many elections. I mean, there is something to that. The reality is you can have a little bit of democracy fatigue if it seems like every month or every other month people are asked to go to the polls. And so it becomes reasonable at some point to say we should have a handful of times a year at most that are election times, and that has some cost savings as well.
Let's go to Charlene now in Mondovi. Hi, Charlene.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree with the most recent caller that this is a delaying tactic, and I was appalled that it wasn't called earlier and could have been held with the spring elections, and outraged that he's trying to change a law that has been in effect and worked well. So that, I just wanted to put in my two cents. I think that the idea of having districts where no one is represented is absolutely appalling.
Charlene, thanks so much for the call. It did take an outside group led by Eric Holder to really get traction here, even though lawmakers in January did try to sound the alarm bells, so to speak.
That's right. And that's not uncommon with this kind of litigation. You need to have experienced lawyers who come in and have sort of the knowledge and the money to bring this kind of action. And so that came together in February.
Why do you need to bring it to the courts? I mean, why does this ultimately land in the courts?
Well, there's not another clear mechanism to get relief. I mean, the statute talks about that. It says the governor shall order the special elections. And if the governor doesn't do that, the courts would be the natural mechanism to go to get an order. I mean, that's where people go when they want government officials to perform duties that they are required to perform and aren't performing.
Let's go to Tom now in Jefferson. Hi, Tom.
Kate, thanks for taking my call. And Kate and guest, pardon me. I wanted to reiterate that I agree with the last two guests, phone-in guests, that, you know, absolutely Walker should have called for the election immediately, because it certainly seems to me that that's what the law says. But what I really find much more troubling is that the Assembly and the Senate's willingness and extreme arrogance to want to change the law after the fact to suit their needs. And any comments you have on that, I'll take off the air, and you guys have a good day. Thank you.
Tom, thank you. Any thoughts on that, Robert?
Well, it's still an open question whether the legislature will actually proceed. You know, they had committee hearings yesterday. There have been at least a couple of Republican senators who have expressed some reservations about this. So an open question whether they will have the votes. I mean, it is conceivable that they'll make the judgment either that they don't and they'll now drop this. And we may learn more in the next day or two about that. It's also possible that now they've made a political judgment that actually they were starting to take some heat for seeming to want to change the rules of the game in this way, and they may just think, you know what, we'll now fight these special elections. And so we'll know more probably by the end of this week or early next week about what will happen with that legislation.
And let's hear from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald from yesterday's public hearing.
Holding two special elections while the regularly scheduled elections are proceeding on schedule and as planned is, I think, a waste of taxpayer money.
And so they're going back to the money issue there. Robert, can you break it down for us? What would this legislation mean for current state law?
Well, what the legislation would mean is it certainly would mean going forward, no special election could happen after the spring election. Now, the legislation as written, I think, is meant to apply to these vacancies as well. But there's no question that would be litigated back in court.
So that would be a fresh court case or an addendum or how?
Yeah, it's a little bit unclear how it will play out. It's possible that the governor and the state will try to make an argument within the confines importance of the current case that now, even if the governor today by noon calls the special election, that essentially he can call it back or needs to call it back under the new law. So potentially that argument could unfold in the current litigation. Alternatively, if the governor, say, orders officials now not to follow through, the plaintiffs could file a new action raising new reasons why they think, even if this legislation is valid prospectively, it shouldn't be applied to these vacancies that have already been open now for 3 months.
Let's go to Mark now, joining us from Franklin. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Say, first of all, I don't think the people are disenfranchised. We have two legislative bodies in the state, either the state representatives or the state senators. So these people all have one. We're wasting money for an election that is going to produce maybe a 10% turnout. 15% turnout would be astronomical in an election in June for one single state office or one district office. I think this is just another political boondoggle by the Democrats. Waste some more money. We had recall elections that went nowhere, that wasted millions of dollars. And it's you wonder why this state is behind so many other states. It's because there's just one partisan thing after another going on. Mark, why have an election in the middle of summer? Kids are out of school. People are going to be gone. How do servicemen overseas, especially, find out that there is an election? Do they have to have somebody at home giving them a call, or does the state send out notices to somebody who's in the military in Afghanistan, say?
Mark, you bring up a lot of good points here that Robert can respond to. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I guess the first thing that I would say is that this is not a novel mechanism that's being invoked here. The law in this form has basically been on the books since 1971. We've had over 100 special elections. Now, the caller makes a fair point that, in a sense, you are double represented in the state legislature. You have both a member of the assembly and a member of the state senate. And so in the vacant assembly district, they still have a state senator. In the vacant senate district, still have an assembly person, although they're still missing out on someone who's going to be voting in a particular chamber, and that's one fewer person who's going to be doing constituent services on their behalf. So they're not completely without representation, but they lack some representation. In terms of some of the other points that the caller made, there's no question
military votes,
well,
for instance.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So with respect to military votes, again, the system has been in place like this for decades. There are inevitably going to be challenges when people are overseas in the military or otherwise finding out. There are some notice mechanisms in place. I don't, if you're a registered voter, perhaps you do receive some affirmative notice. I can't say I know for sure about the technicalities of the notice mechanism. And there was some testimony yesterday suggesting that there could be on the order of maybe a few dozen military voters who would be affected by
this. Maybe about 100, I think, was the latest estimate.
That was one number mm-hmm. that I saw. The response to that was, well, you have many thousands of voters who would otherwise be disenfranchised not having their representative. Now, the other point that he made, which is a perfectly valid point, is that special elections are low turnout elections. And again, to some extent, this is, again, a self-inflicted injury on the governor's part. Had the special elections been called early, they could have been folded in to the spring election that we're about to have. But, all things considered, I think we would rather have a situation in which voter turnout is 50 or 60% as opposed to 10 or 15%, which is typical in an off-cycle special election.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Governor Walker's lawyers at the Justice Department announced last night that they will not ask the state Supreme Court to overturn a lower court order that will force special elections in two vacant legislative districts. And the governor said last night at an event in Pewaukee that he'll call the election for June 12th. There is a noon deadline today. We'll hear basically in the next few hours what comes to pass. Meanwhile, we're talking about the push and pull of elections in Wisconsin with Robert Yablon. He's an assistant professor in the UW Law School, faculty affiliate at the university's Elections Research Center. Gathering your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. How do you think the back and forth between sides on this issue is impacting Wisconsinites? What about the current political mood in the state? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Lisa now, joining us from Cottage Grove. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. I have a question about this argument that's been advanced that they have representation in the Senate or in the Assembly. Wouldn't that suggest that it's time to get rid of some of these seats then? If they're saying they are doubly represented, why do we need 99 Assembly representatives and 33 Senate seats by the notion of the Justice Department lawyers' arguments and State Senator Scott Fitzgerald saying that they don't need to have this election because they're already represented? Wouldn't we, instead of going into extraordinary session to change the election law, go in to reduce the size and the cost of the state legislature, since we don't need this double representation by their argument?
Well, you know, one reaction that I have to the caller's point, I suppose, is that it does go to show that democracy inevitably does cost money, and we make some institutional choices, and long-standing choice in this state has been that you have a bicameral legislature, and that's the norm nationwide. The number of people that we have in the legislature has been set for a long time. We pay their salaries. There's a lot of costs associated with that, and so if the cost issue is really what's driving this, then sure, it wouldn't be unreasonable to think that we ought to have an even bigger discussion about the cost that we're willing to bear to have the representative system that we want.
Have we seen something like this in other states?
In terms of special elections not being called, or
in terms of special elections not being called, and of in terms of the litigious nature of what has come to pass here?
Sure. Well, there's a huge variety of laws across the country in terms of how you fill seats when there's a legislative vacancy, and the country is split in terms of state legislative seats about 50-50 between states that, like Wisconsin, have a special election mechanism, and then states where there's actually some form of appointment to fill the seat. There aren't states that usually just tend to leave the seat open, but you can have appointment by the governor, by the political party in those states. In the special election states, again, a big variety in terms of the timing of special elections. There really is no standard sort of model legislation that deals with this. I guess in terms of whether there's been other litigation, it happens sporadically. The litigation that tends to get the most attention is when there's a vacancy for a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives or the U.S. Senate. And there you have some different legal issues that arise because the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, has some provisions that deal with those vacancies. And so, you know, the smattering of court cases that you've seen have most often dealt with those situations.
It becomes much more high profile then.
Exactly. And there have been some instances. I mean, there was an instance in New York within the last few years where the governor was not calling a special election for a vacant House of Representatives seat. There was a situation in Ohio a few years before that, same deal. And in that case, the court ordered the governor to call the special election.
Let's take another call now. Helen is joining us from Spring Green. Hi, Helen. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering if there are any consequences for Governor Walker if he goes past noon today and doesn't call the special election and then is in contempt of court.
Well, he has said that he's going to abide by that order, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. If he doesn't, then the next step for the plaintiffs probably would be to seek to hold him in contempt, and there could be some penalties that he would face then in terms of fines or other things. I mean, the courts like to have their orders followed, and they would probably impose some costs on him if he doesn't.
Could there be any further way to draw it out, to buy more time, if you will?
You know, I guess I never want to say never. There's maybe something that I haven't thought of. I mean, we've seen such a whirlwind of activity over the past couple of days on this. But given what was said last night, it sounds like the governor is going to order the election by noon today. And then the next question will be whether the legislature actually proceeds. And if they do proceed, then we're going to have some further wrangling about a new law and its application to these current vacancies.
We're exploring the push and pull of elections here in Wisconsin with Robert Yablon. He is an assistant professor in the UW Law School. Getting your thoughts, your reaction, your questions, 800-642-1234. What do you make about the current political mood here in Wisconsin? How would you like to see these special elections proceed or not? 800-642-1234. Back after this news. Governor Scott Walker faces a noon deadline today to call special elections in Wisconsin's vacant 1st Senate and 42nd Assembly districts. The seats were left open when former State Senator Frank Lassay and former State Representative Keith Ripp resigned to take jobs in the Walker administration on December 29, 2017. Meanwhile, Republicans are leading the effort on a bill to change when special elections get called. This isn't the only recent measure that's involved special elections, though. Senate Democrats tried to get traction on holding special elections back in January. Let's listen to Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling.
Those voters in those districts have a right to be represented, and because they have not had representation in a timely fashion through an election, they will go more than a year without being represented. And so we have been called into special session several times that they could have had their voices heard. They could have had an elected official represent them in the state Senate, but the governor chose not to do his job and create this chaos.
And we're talking about, quote unquote, this chaos, the tense and conflicted state of Wisconsin's elections process here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW Law School Assistant Professor Robert Yablon is our guide. He is a faculty affiliate with the university's Elections Research Center. Getting your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Did Governor Walker make the right move by not petitioning the state Supreme Court to overturn lower court rulings? What do you think of a measure to change special elections language that's before the legislature right now? Call in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to the phones now with Jimmy joining us from Valley Junction. Hi, Jimmy.
Morning. Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think this just continues the pattern of contempt for constituents and local governments and organizations that the Republicans have shown ever since they took total power over the government. They seem to, any time that they disagree with a law that's been passed and that isn't favorable to their ends and what they want to do, they'll go back and try and change it. And unless you're sticking money in their pockets, they don't really seem to care if... in this case, if you have representation or not. And this Meteor Timber thing is just another, besides this issue, is just another example where they're trying to do special things for people that are giving money to their campaigns.
Well, Jimmy, seeing a lot of political maneuvering here, Robert.
I mean, it's certainly possible to view this as part of a larger narrative. Over the past few years, you have had a decision by the legislature to try to entrench themselves through what was a fairly aggressive gerrymander that's now being litigated in the U.S. Supreme Court. You've had voter ID laws that were arguably, at least in part, passed out of a desire to advantage one party over the other. And as the caller points out, there have been some efforts as well to reduce local control in some circumstances where the state is not happy with what particular localities are doing policy-wise. And so it is certainly possible to critique the legislature that's been in control the past few years for trying to change the rules of the game too readily when it suits their short-term interests.
Do you think this case, this legislation as well, could impact other states and how they view special elections?
You know, given the huge patchwork of laws that exist around the country, I'm not sure that people are going to be paying too much attention to the nuances of our timing. I mean, the timing is so varied already. Mm. You know, what they will pay attention to, what does get noticed, is this issue of politicians trying to change the rules of the game in ways that serve their short-term interests. You know, that tends to be what grabs the headlines. And if there's a storyline that goes beyond the state, it's likely to be that.
Let's go to Joan now, who is waiting in Rudolph. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I've got a few points. First of all, elections are to be held to elect people for representation. And Walker knew that he was going to appoint these two people in his administration way before, I'm sure, that he actually did it in December. So he should have known this was coming, for one. And it's outright negligence on his part for not calling a special election right at the very beginning. Second of all, I'm a retired military, and I'm really tired of having politicians play the military pawn game here. Right now, those people, regardless if they're military or not, in those districts are disenfranchised. To claim now to have an election overseas quickly, it's his fault for not doing it when he was supposed to. To disenfranchise people for not being able to vote is ludicrous, because they're already disenfranchised because they're not being properly represented right now. But again, quit playing the military pawn game here. Thirdly, I'm really concerned that if the legislature changes the law when Walker tried to break the law, and he's only being forced to because somebody's took him to court about it, it's a prime example of what he did with the campaign illegally. At the time, it was illegal what they were investigating back in 2011 and 12. What'd they do? He has the legislature change the law and has the Supreme Court hide all the documents that would attest to his...
John Doe, right. Joan, I want to stop you right there. With point three, manipulating the verbiage in the law to work in your favor to what you want, I mean, is that a type of maneuvering there?
Well, sure, it is. The reality is that the legislature decided to take this up after the trial court issued its order requiring Walker to call the special election. This is not some long-standing piece of reform legislation that it was out there. It is directly reacting to a particular event, and it's not surprising that people would have an adverse reaction to what appears to be a legislative change designed for one particular situation.
And these lawmakers resigned on December 29th, right before the turn of the calendar year. Is there anything noticeable about that?
Well, earlier in the litigation, one argument that the Walker administration had been making was that under the language of the statute, they didn't necessarily have a clear legal duty to call a special election because the vacancy had arisen in 2017 rather than 2018. That was a sort of novel and puzzling argument based on the text of the statute. The courts rejected it, and it's not clear to me that the state is continuing to push that theory, which has never been one an understanding of the law that that governors have offered before.
Joan, thanks for calling. Let's go to Jim now, joining us from Hartford. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I think it's you got me?
Yeah. Yes, Jim,
okay,
in Hartford. Freedom, yes.
Not Hartford.
Oh, I'm sorry. Freedom. Oh, go ahead. So, sorry, we have two Jims on the phone.
I'd just like to make a statement. I'm listening to all this stuff that's going on between the two parties, and we should, as taxpayers, listen to our very first president. He warned us about this right from the beginning. He said, the party system had no place in our country. And he said all is a special interest, and these two parties are proving it time and time again. What we need to do is wake up and quit voting for the lesser of two evils and stop voting for both those two evils, because they're both very evil the way they are. All they are is one gets in power and they push their interests, another gets in party. We need to vote good people that are going to be honest, fair, and listen to each other and work together. And that's what George Washington warned us about. Maybe it's time we listen to his advice.
I hear a lot of the word listening coming from Jim in Freedom, to really having to listen to each other on both sides, that we need to come together, and wondering, is that possible in the current polarized environment?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I certainly sympathize with that caller's perspective. You know, you want legislators there who are thinking about the broader public interest rather than just partisan interests. Unfortunately, what so often happens is that these kind of legislative debates happen in a very polarized climate, where you're thinking not in terms of the big picture long term, but in terms of the people's short term interests. And so, you know, you could very much imagine that the shoe would be on the other foot, and that there could be instances in which the Democrats might not want a special election to happen in this way. But because it comes up in this manner, people tend to go to their partisan corners, and it is hard to have the kind of even-handed, rational discussion that you might like.
Let's fold in another call here, this time Jim in Hartford. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, we've heard a lot about how much the special elections will cost the taxpayers. Is there any idea of how much just this litigation has cost the taxpayers?
Great question.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, if you ask the folks in the Wisconsin Department of Justice, I suspect what they tell you is that they're all salaried employees and that this doesn't cost any additional money. Now, the response that you might have to that is because they're focusing on this work, there's other litigation work that they're not prioritizing, and they're only a certain number of hours in the day. And so you might wonder, what is it that they are not doing or not doing as well because they've instead decided to focus on this case.
So as we start to wrap up here in the next minute or so, what are you watching as this proceeds?
Well, the main thing that I'm curious to see now is what happens with this legislation. Will the Republicans in the legislature decide that this is not a battle worth having and withdraw this attempt to amend the special election law? Or will we see an amendment get pushed through in the next week or so? And if the amendment does get pushed through, then the next question will be, will they actually be able to apply it to these vacancies? And to determine that, I suspect there would be some more litigation ahead.
So this certainly not playing out very soon. Well, Robert Yablon, thank you so much for joining us, giving us some insight here.
Thanks for having me.
Robert Yablon is an assistant professor in the University of Wisconsin Law School. He is a faculty affiliate with the university's Elections Research Center, and he was joining us to look at the legal ins and outs of a special elections order and a special elections legislation. The governor has a noon deadline to call the special elections for the two open legislative seats. This hour, the morning show was produced by Brianne Shasso and Keely Baltina. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. This conversation about special elections, you find it on the Ideas Network.